how we fight our battles. This is 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 how we fight our
I don't wanna be afraid every time I face the waves. I don't wanna be afraid. I don't wanna be afraid. And I don't wanna fear the storm just because I hear it roar. I don't wanna fear the storm. I don't wanna fear the storm. Gonna be afraid, 'cause these waves are only waves. I'm not gonna be afraid. No, I'm not gonna be afraid. And I'm not gonna fear the storm. You are greater than its roar. Oh, I'm not gonna fear the storm. No, I'm not gonna fear it all.
Let faith rise up. Oh. the Lord. We're glad that you've joined with us this evening here at Coosa Valley Church of God. We was going to have other events this afternoon, but we've had to have a change of plans due to several connected with our church family are sick. So we want to go to God in prayer and ask God to minister to those that are sick. We have several with sinus infections, several other things going on. We want to go to God in prayer and ask God to touch and minister. If you have joined us on live feed tonight and you have a prayer request, I ask that you'll text the keyword prayer to 205-642-8744. That's the keyword prayer to 205-642-8744. And we want to partner together with you in prayer. We do have, as I've already said, several connected with the church that are sick. And we definitely want to hold each one up to God in prayer. Let's go to God in prayer, and then I want to have just a real brief Bible study tonight, devotional tonight, for just a few moments on this Wednesday afternoon. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, I want to thank you for the blessings that you've given us. Thank you for this opportunity that you've allowed us to join together. I know that there are those that are at home. Some are in their living rooms, in their kitchen. Some on the back porch enjoying this beautiful weather, wherever they may be. God, I pray that as we join together in just a moment for a time of Bible study, I pray, Father God, that you'll touch and minister to the hearts and lives of each one that have joined in. Father, you see those that are sick, you know, those that are connected with our church family that are not feeling well. God, they've gone to the doctor or the after-hours clinic or the pharmacy today, and they have taken COVID test, or they have had blood work done at the doctor's office. They've had swabs, and they've had tests performed, and they have a sinus infection. They have whatever it may be. God, I pray that you will touch and minister in their bodies. Heal them, Father God. Bring a healing to each one that's connected to this church, those around this nation, Father God, that's going through the same. Father, I pray that you'll bring a healing in their lives as well. God, I thank you for what I know that you're going to do. I know that you're able to do. And I praise you right now in Jesus' name, amen and amen. For just a few moments, I want to pause for about 15 seconds, and I'm going to ask that you can get your cell phone, unless you're watching on your cell phone, and open up a notepad, or you get you a sheet of paper, whatever you would like to do, and because I want to give you some verses this afternoon. I was going to put the verses on the screen that's down in the bottom corner, but I want you to physically write these verses down, and here's why. I'm pausing now. I'm just going to continue to talk for just a few seconds as you go get something to write these verses down on. But here's why I want you to write these down. The title of this little devotional is called Rise and Be Healed. Rise and Be Healed. I have mentioned over the last several weeks, several months, I'm sick of all of the sickness. I'm sick of the sickness that's going on, physical and spiritual. I'm sick of the sickness. And whether it be COVID, whether it be sinus infections, whatever it may be, sickness has just continued to run rampant around not only our church family, but other churches around in our community, around in our state, around in our nation. And it's preventing people from coming to church. Yes, it's been preventing people from working. It's preventing people from going to stores. There's many that they will not get out, and they don't go to stores anymore. They don't go to ball games. They don't go places because they don't want to get sick. And so I completely understand that. But the fact of the matter is yes, about 4 years ago, and actually it's about this time frame, 4 years ago, COVID hit this nation and this world very, very hard, and sickness came in a mighty big wave. And I'll be honest with you, I'm really tired of sickness. I'm ready for life to get back to where, not a normal that we used to have, but I'm ready for a normal of where we're going. And so I believe that we can battle this sickness, and we can only do that with Scripture. And so the title of this, and I want you to write these verses down, and the reason I want you to write these verses down is I want you to go back. I want you to go back here in an hour, here in 4 hours, here tomorrow, next week, And every time that you have a cough, every time you have something going on, I want you to read these verses to yourself, and I want you to read them out loud to yourself, and I want you to quote these verses in your life, because I am tired of sickness. I know that you're tired of sickness. Each one of us is tired of sickness, and we're ready for life to continue to move forward. So the first passage of Scripture that I want you to write down, and I want you to go back, and I want you to read these later, is Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. You can turn your Bible there, and we'll read that in just a moment. But Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. As you're turning your Bible there, because like I said, do not have those on the screen here, simply because I wanted you to write these scriptures down, because I want us to be able to go back and read these passages of Scripture. The reason I want you to read these is I want us to be able to quote these to ourselves so that we're calling upon healing in our own bodies. We're calling upon healings into our church family, our city, our state, our county, our state, and our nation. Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. Look at what it says. It says this, "And he entered into a ship and passed over and came unto his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, laying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man be blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easy to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk, but that you know that the Son of Man hath power on heaven, on earth, to forgive sins, then he saith unto the sick of palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto their own house. Verse 7. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled, glorified God, which had given such power unto man. When we read throughout the Bible, we read into the Word of God, we take a look at the Scriptures, and we find in the Old Testament there are 30 cases, recorded cases of healing, physical healing in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, there are 38 different miracles, different healings found in the New Testament. That tells us that one-fifth of the Gospels, one-fifth of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, one-fifth of the Gospels deals with Christ's healing ministry. So we need to take a look at the word heal. The word heal, H-E-A-L, the word actually means to save, to mend, to restore, to cure, to soothe, and to cleanse. The word heal, H-E-A-L, this word simply means to save, to mend, to restore, to cure, to soothe, and to cleanse. When the Israelites came out of Egypt and prepared for the desert, God spoke to them in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. And he says, I am the Lord who heals you. God tells the children of Israel, he tells them, he says, I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord your healer. There are powerful testimonies and there are powerful promises and powerful principles found in healings in both the Old and the New Testament. You could take a look at stories such as, and verses such as found in Psalms 103, verse 3. And I'm going to go very slow when I call these scriptures, because I want you to write these down and I want you to call these over your own life. I want you to go back and read these particular passages of Scripture over your life, your next door neighbor, our church family, our city, our county, our state, our nation, the world. We need a healing. Those verses are Psalms 103, verse 3, Psalms 107, and verse 20, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. You could go into the New Testament and you find Matthew chapter 4, and verse 23. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 17. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 14. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 11. James chapter 5 and verse 16. I want to read those verses one more time in case you needed to jot those down and you didn't catch all of those. That's Psalms 103, verse 3. Psalms 107, verse 20. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 20. Matthew chapter 4 and 23. Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. Matthew chapter 14, verse 14. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 11. And then James chapter 5, verse 16. These are some powerful verses that has the promises, the principles, and the Word of God, or that's found in the Word of God about healing in both the Old and the New Testament. The healing from Jesus Christ, the healing from God, is not just a New Testament thing. It is an Old and a New Testament thing. When we mention healing, a number of questions come to our mindsets. A number of questions comes to mind. Number one, is it always God's will to heal mankind? Is the healing for today, or is it something that was just from the church of old? Why isn't everyone healed? Why do we anoint the sick with oil? Why are the elders the only one who can pray for the sick? One of the these questions are something that's raised out of the Word of God, and we read in those passages that I just gave you all of the answers to those questions. One of the early incidences of Christ healing was that of a crippled person we found in Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. They brought this man to Jesus on a mat. They tore off the roof and they lowered this man into the room where he was at. We need to remember the first thing, that the healing and miracles are different. We need to remember healings and miracles are different. Sometimes healing is a form of a miracle. So there is an instantaneous result. But the word healing means a process of recovery. To pray for healing is to ask God to recover power from some injury to the body, the mind, or the spirit. People get disappointed when they do not get a healing instantaneously. Their symptoms do not instantaneously disappear when they pray, because they don't understand healing does take time. God may require us to do something for a healing to be complete. Prayer is not the only thing needed for a healing. Prayer is not the only thing needed for a healing. Every person praying for a healing needs to remember that we should never pray for which we are not willing to be a part of the answer. We should never pray that we're not willing to be a part of the answer. So how do we need to be praying? How do we need to learn from Matthew chapter 9, those verses? How do we need to learn from this to know the account of what a healing is all about? Well, first of all, there's three things that's involved in a healing. Remember, a healing is a process of recovery. It's not something that takes place instantaneously. A miracle is an instantaneous thing. But a healing is a process of a recovery. So we must understand that, first of all, a healing takes place in an atmosphere of faith and of love. We go back to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 2, and it tells us this. Matthew 9 and 2 says this: Behold, some people brought him to a paralytic man laying on a cot, laying on a bed, and Jesus saw their faith, and he said to the paralytic, he said, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven."
Jesus saw their faith. These men, they cared about their friend. They cared about their friend. We need to understand that faith is expressed through love. Faith is not something that we can just is haphazard thing, but faith is expressed through love. You could go and take a look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, and it tells us about that faith expressed through love. The church is commissioned. We are the church. We're the body of the believers. We've come together. I know that I'm here. You're wherever you may be. You're at home. You're on the back porch, your front porch, you're in the living room, the kitchen, wherever you may be at, and we are a part of the body of believers. We're the church, and the church has commissioned as a healing community the body of Christ here on earth. The essentialness for healing is spirit, mind, and body. Spirit, mind, and body. I'm going to tell you something, church. We must understand that as a part of the healing community, there must be spirit, mind, and body must be involved in that healing. There's some atmospheric conditions needed for the church to be a healing community. Take a look at John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. You find in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, that the first thing that needs to be found is the church needs to be unconditional love. In order to be a part of a healing community, we need to show unconditional love towards those around us. The second thing that we find is in Acts chapter 4, verse 32. Acts chapter 4 and verse 32, that the church body, in order to have the atmospheric conditions for a healing community, is we need the unity of spiritual purpose. I don't know about you, but our spiritual purpose is to come together and lift up each other in a time of prayer. There's action to that prayer. It's not something that's a haphazard thing, but it is something that we need to join together as a body of believers in a spirit of unity and have a purpose about that body of believers. We also find that in Romans chapter 15 and verse 7 that there needs to be unconditional acceptance. Unconditional acceptance. What does that mean? Well, we find in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17 that the Bible tells us, the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears him say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him take of the free gift of the water of life. There needs to be unacceptable, unconditional acceptance of those that come in order to receive that healing. We're not coming together for unacceptable, unconditional acceptance of different lifestyles or different things of that nature that might be in somebody's life. But we do come together with acceptance of brothers and sisters of like faith and know that we need to pray one for another. There needs to be compassionate involvement. That's the fourth thing you can find in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, Romans chapter 15 and verse 1, that there must be a compassionate involvement. We need to come together as the body of believers and have involvement one with another. There was a laying hands found in the Word of God where Jesus touched the leper. You know what he did? He laid hands on him and he said, arise, take up your bed. Take heart, my son. Your sins are forgiven. What we must understand is when Jesus himself touched the leper in the Word of God, there is compassionate involvement where Jesus reaches out and touches that leper. What was he supposed to do? He wasn't supposed to touch the leper, but he did it anyway. Church, when people come for prayer and they're coming for a time of healing, they're coming to get a hold of God, it's not a time to shun somebody, but it is a time to touch and get a hold of God. We need to do this together. This last couple of weeks, I had called our church to have a time of prayer for those that's connected to this body that are sick. We need to hold each other, and that has not stopped. We need to continue to be praying one for another. We find tonight that there are many connected to this church that are sick, and they're at home right now. They've taken medication today. They've gone through the process of going through the doctor. They're taking medication. Talked to some this afternoon. That medication is nasty. It's disgusting. We don't want to take it, but you know what? We're going to take that. We're going to go through the process of what the doctors tells us, and guess what? As a church body, we're joining together, and we have compassionate involvement in the fact that we're going to be praying one for another. Amen? We need to have that. And in that, we need to have the fifth thing, expectant faith. When Jesus saw the faith of those who helped that friend that day, Jesus said, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." Jesus, he saw the friends that was there bringing that friend, bringing him to Jesus and saying, "We know that God is able. I have expectant faith that I know that God is able to heal you right where you're at. I'm not going to be one of those that's going to say, touch the TV screen or do this or do that. I am praying that God is going to heal you right there on that couch, laying in that recliner, laying on that bed, wherever you may be. I know that God is able to heal you. Why? Because I have expectant faith that my God is able to heal whatever the sickness is in your life." Amen? So what do we need to learn from the account of healing? First of all, we just have talked about how that healing takes place in an atmosphere of faith and love. I've got faith, and I love you enough to be praying for you. We, as a body of believers, need to have faith and be praying one for another. We need to love each other enough to pray one for another. The second thing, faith works from the inside out. Faith works from the inside out. Go back again, Matthew chapter 9, verse 2. Jesus told the paralytic man, "Be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven." It's interesting that Jesus doesn't immediately heal him of his paralysis. Instead, he says, "Your sins are forgiven." Here we see the inner healing. First of all, the healing of the soul. Please understand, just because somebody is sick does not mean they're a sinner. Understand, just because somebody is sick does not mean they're a sinner. Psalms chapter 23, verse 3, Psalms chapter 41, and verse 4. There's a healing of the soul. What is the greatest of all healing? Is it not the healing of the soul? The healing of the soul happens under four different conditions. First of all, there's types of pain, four different types of pain that happens of the healing of the soul. It doesn't have to do with sin. But what happens here is hurt, rejectment, disappointment, humiliation, put downs, criticism, horror, fears, hate, unforgiveness, resentment. These four things are the healing that needs to be in all of our souls. Hurt, humiliation, horror, and hate. Those are the things that are damaging our souls today. I don't know about you, but there is so much hate. There is so much rejection. There's so much disappointment. There's so much put down. There's so much criticism. There's so much fear. There's so much unforgiveness. So much resentment that's going on in the world today. The church needs to be a place where the soul can get healed. Amen. I love it when people come to the house of God, come into this building, and they need a healing for their physical body. But more importantly, I'm going to tell you something, church. I want people's souls to be healed. This is not just talking about sin, but this is talking about a healing of that hurt, a healing of that humiliation, those fears, those horrors, that hate. It needs to be gone out of our lives. There's a danger of repression. We bury our pain in the unconsciousness through denial, rationalization, projection. This causes an illness that comes into our hearts and our lives. Whenever we're holding on to that rejection, that disappointment, that put down, that criticism, we're holding on to that fear, that unforgiveness, that resentment, that did spill over into a repression into our physical body. Scientists have already determined that whenever we're holding on to hatred, we're holding on to those things that we've just called out. We're holding on to those mental things that it causes a physical issue into our lives. If you got something very important going on, you can have a sick stomach because you're nervous about something. All of these things, mental things, brings, and I didn't call nobody mental. These things are mental. These are mind things. Rejection, disappointment, put down, criticism. These are things that we hold in our minds, our soul. Those can have a physical, bring a physical sickness into our bodies. This causes an actual psychosomatic illness. So we need to have a healing. It works from the inside out. The inner healing of the Holy Spirit, James chapter 5 and verse 16. The inner healing of the Holy Spirit, this comes through confrontation and confession. The inner healing of the work of the Holy Spirit comes through confrontation and confession. We do not need to hold on to those things that's weighing us down. There's chains of bondage that's holding us down. We need to say, God, break the chains of bondage. Break the chains of rejection, of disappointment, of put down, criticism, fear, unforgiveness, resentment. Break those chains and heal the inner man so that the outward man can have a healing. Finally tonight, told you it'd just be just a few moments. Finally tonight, healing often involves a plan of action. Healing often involves a plan of action. God wants to heal you, but you've got to do something. It may be simple as worshiping Him. It may be something more that we find in Scripture, because you can find in Scripture Matthew chapter 9 and verse 6. It tells Jesus told the paralytic man, while he was still a paralytic man, He says, get up, take up your mat, and go home. Get up, take up your mat, and go home. Church, it's time that we put our faith into action. Faith, if not accompanied by action, is dead. We need to put our faith into action. No, I'm not telling you to go write a check and you know that the money's not in there. That's not faith putting into action. But what we need to do is we need to take up our mat and go home. We need to get up. Off of the bed of sickness, off of the bed of hurt, humiliation, horror, hate. We need to get up off of that, take up our mat, and go home. We need to put our faith into action. We have to follow up our prayers with action. I know I'm healed. I'm going to claim it, and I'm going to go forward in that claim. Amen? Look, do not misunderstand me. If the doctors put you on blood pressure medicine, you need to let that doctor take you off of blood pressure medicine. But I can promise you, you can say, okay, God, I'm putting my faith into action. I'm calling that doctor and saying, you need to check my blood pressure again. I'm not telling anybody to stop taking their medication. You've gone to the doctor yesterday and today, and the doctors has put you on medicine due to whatever sickness is going on. I'm not telling you to stop that. But I'm telling you, you need to put your faith into action. You need to get up in the morning and you just say, God is going to heal me. You know, what I'm fixing to say may sound silly. But you know what? You may get up in the morning and you may be coughing. You may be sneezing. You may be snotting everywhere. But you can get up out of that bed and say, okay, God, I know I'm going to receive my healing today. You may feel worse than lower than a dog's foot. You may feel horrible, but I'm going to tell you something. If you'll start putting that faith into action, you start calling the things that are not as though they are, I am receiving my healing. I have an expectation that God is going to heal me. By the end of the day, you may not be healed, but I promise you, you keep doing that. You call the things that are not as though they are. Know that Pastor Andy is praying for you. Know that I am expecting that you're going to be healed. Why do we need to take our plan of action? Why does healing involve a plan of action? Well, you know, in Exodus chapter 15, 23 through 25, Moses put a branch in the water to heal the bitter waters of Marah. In 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 10, Elijah told Naaman to dip into Jordan 7 times to receive his healing. Luke chapter 17 and verse 14, Jesus told the lepers to go and show themselves to the priest. Luke chapter 8, verse 43 and 44, the woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of the garment of Christ. And Acts chapter 3, 6 and 7, Peter and John took the cripple by the hand and said, "In the name of Jesus, rise and walk." Our healing involves a plan of action. You cannot just sit back and say, "Well, God's going to heal me, so I'm just going to sit back and let God do it." Nope. We need to have the faith that God's going to do it. And that faith has got to come with a plan of action. God's probably telling you things to do. He's telling you somebody else to pray for. He's telling you things that you need to start putting forth. I'm going to tell you something, church. My plan of action of you getting healed is I've asked you to write these verses down. I've asked you to read these passages of Scripture to yourself. I've asked you to read these passages of Scriptures out loud. I'm asking you, church, let that be a plan of action in your life. Read the Word of God out loud to yourself and say, "I know that I am healed because Jesus, God's Word tells me that Jesus has gone to the cross of Calvary for my healing." You have a plan of action. Read God's Word to yourself. Church, know that I'm praying for you. Know that others in our church is praying for you. Whomever you may be, I know that God is going to heal you. God's going to set you free from this sickness. We've got so many connected to our church tonight that are sick. And I'm praying that God is going to heal you this very night. Amen? Would you pray with us one more time? Dear Heavenly Father, God, you've heard the prayer request. You've seen those that are sick. You see those that needs a special touch from you. Father, I'm praying right now, this very night, this very moment, God, I'm praying that you'll heal those that are sick. God, whatever it may be, that sinus infection, COVID, flu, strep, that stomach issue, whatever this sickness may be, Father God, I curse that sickness that it would have to go. I have an expectant faith that I'm going to receive text message after text message after text message tomorrow, tonight, into tomorrow, that says, "God's healed me. God has healed me. God has healed me." I have the expectation as a pastor of this church that God is going to heal those that's connected to this body. Father, there are those that have wrote these passages of Scripture down. They're going to read these passages to themselves. They're going to read these passages out loud. And God, as that act, that plan of action, as that takes place, Father, I'm claiming a healing touch in everyone's heart and life. God, I thank you for what you've done and what you're going to continue to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. One more time, just so that you've got these passages of Scripture. Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. Psalms chapter 103, verse 3. Psalms 107, verse 20. Proverbs 3, 7 and 8. Malachi 4 and 2. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23. Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 14. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. And James chapter 5 and verse 16. Do me a favor. Text me tonight. I don't care if it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Text me tonight. Text me tomorrow. Call me. Let me know that God has touched your life. God has touched you. God is ministering to you. You can text the church at 205-642-8744. Remember, if you've got a prayer request, we want to partner together with you in prayer. Text the keyword prayer to 205-642-8744. We want to partner with you in prayer. Just as we're ending tonight, those quick announcements, I know that Sister Stephanie would want me to mention these. On Friday, those that are able, those that are well and able to be able to meet us, we'd love for you to still going to meet us at the bowling alley here in Pell City. I believe it's at 6:30. We're going to have a time of bowling. There's going to be pizza and drinks and things like that. We're going to have a great time in fellowship. Then on Saturday at 8:30, guys, we're going to be meeting at Jack's for breakfast at 8:30. Ladies, you're going to be meeting at Cracker Barrel at 8:30 for a great time of fellowship with myself and Sister Carrie. And then on Sunday, we have a great friend of mine, Bishop Josh Gill, will be in service with us. I've spoke to him today. He is excited about being with us on this Sunday, this coming Sunday morning in fellowship and in ministering the word to us. And then we'll have a time of fellowship afterwards. The entirety of the body is welcome to join us. That is going to be at City Market. They have a room reserved for us for lunch on Sunday. If you did not put your name on the list, Sister Stephanie had the list out in the foyer. If you did not put your name on that list and you are going to be attending with us, please text that information to 205-642-8744, or you can call and leave a voicemail or leave a message with on Stephanie's voicemail. You can do that. You can listen to the prompts, and you can get to Stephanie's voicemail from there and be able to be a part of that. She just needs to make sure she has a head count for that. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. Thank you so much for joining with us. Looking forward to seeing everybody this coming Sunday. And I'm praying for you that God's going to heal you between now and then. May God bless you. Amen and amen.
Keep fighting voices in